T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Now you listen to me. I want details, and I want them right now. I don't have a job. I have no place to go. You're not in the mood? Well, you get in the mood.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
We try and teach our children not to make fun of others.
Mongoloid Mike, is that what you used to call him? Bust his head open with a stick. Remember that?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
You think you're ready to run with the bulls?
I've been earning and burning, snapping necks and cashing checks.
Look, Brendan, here's the thing. It's the Catalina wine mixer. Okay.
Ah! Are you saying pal? What are you saying?
Bah!
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I thought there's no ice in my lemonade. Sir. Drop down or you give me 10 now.
The Fan.
All right, welcome in. Hour 3, the final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan. I have some really good news for sports fans coming up. Like, I think everybody is going to be ecstatic about this news. And I just got more insight and info on it. And I'll pass that along here in 12 minutes. But I wanted to start the final hour. We didn't get to this last week. We recorded it, and then we ran out of time. And then I didn't have time yesterday. So last weekend, the Steelers played the Bengals. It was an ugly Thursday night football game. Ejections, suspension.
I think like 3 players died, right?
Broken back or spinal cord,
just
whatever
about,
it is.
Honestly, that's not funny, Joe.
The Shazier thing is kind of weird. I don't feel like we know enough information.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, yep, he's in the hospital. We're working on him. And yeah.
Yeah, there's been no real like, update. Like, is his career done? Is it not
done?
Can
he walk, for God's sakes? I mean.
Exactly. So that all happened, right? Well, Mike Mitchell is a pretty good player for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I know they have played a game since, but I still think this is a very relevant thing to bring up. This was him in the locker room. He was addressing the media at his locker, and he just had a real rant about where the NFL currently stands with penalties, hits, targeting, all of that. And then he had a 2 cents on the commissioner of the league.
End of the day, this is football. If you want to see flag football, then let's take our pads off. That would make it easier for me because now I don't got to wear heavy shit. But give us flags for me to pull off because that way I know what we're playing. You know, I signed up to play full speed contact football and we're not doing that. I feel like I got to ask a guy, hey, are you ready for me to hit you right now before I hit you? And that's crazy. I'm going to mess around and get hurt trying to protect an offensive player because he's running an over route. Damn it, your quarterback shouldn't have threw that ball messed up. That happened 2 years ago. I'm not joking at all. Andy Dalton threw a ball to Tyler Eifert 2 years ago. Tyler Eifert had to dive for it. I was aiming for his gut. But if he don't dive, he don't get in the head. That's 50 grand out of my pocket, though, because Andy throws a bad ball. Make that make sense. And at first, you're taking our money, but now, you know, I got assholes like Matt Hasselbeck calling me a dirty player and trying my character, and we've never met before. I donate more money to Cincinnati, underprivileged kids, and probably the people on the Bengals. So don't give me that name. My nephew goes to school there, man. I take all that personally. If you don't know me, if you never had a conversation with me, don't judge us by what you see on football, because football is my competitive side. You know what I'm saying? So it's just so much going on in the game right now. Yes, obviously I'm a little flustered, but I mean, we just got to do better. We got to do better. I said it yesterday. We got to do better as players when we sign the next CBA. We got to get better leadership as who's running the league, because obviously everybody from fans, owners, players, all disappointed in Roger Goodell. We just got to do better. We can't have a guy where you just hand out discipline on how you see fit. There needs to be a set guideline of how we do what we do.
What do you think about that? Oh, maybe that's your response.
That was impressive. I mean,
You followed what he was saying? Like, you agreed with it?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I don't know. I'm a big South Park fan, and they did an episode a couple years ago called Sarcastaball, and it was basically about this, like, All right, and here's the kickoff, and all the players are running up to give each other a hug and a pat on the back. Now the other player's going to make sure that he can tackle him first and giving him a compliment while he's at it, too. And it's like, yeah, I mean, playing defense in the NFL is you can hear the frustration in Mike Mitchell's voice. Like, what the hell am I supposed to do? Like, he said it perfectly. I signed up to play full speed contact football. You know, you'd get it in practice. All right, we're going 75%. It's like when it's game time, it's 100%. And these players are feeling like they're having to be held back to 90 or 75 if a dude's going to the ground to let up.
And I think the other part, too, is they're playing for their jobs every week. I mean, it's only a certain number of individuals that can have bad weeks and they're okay, where you have a lot of the other players in this league week to week have to give everything they have and do everything they possibly can because they're in fear they lose their job.
The NFL's so savage. Yeah, it's like if next man up. I mean, you know, it happens all the time.
I mentioned the concussion protocol stuff yesterday with Tom Savage and just how the NFL, it's not perfect, but damn, man, like let's try to make it where you actually show you care about concussion protocol instead of just saying we have concussion protocol. This kind of seeps into it a little bit for me too, where I've long argued, I already think the rules, and I don't even think it's an argument, but you see the rules and how they're in favor of the offense, and I've long argued I'd like them to approach some of these things and maybe help the defense out. You know, for example, some of these penalties they call, they're five-yard penalties, and they give them an automatic first down. Come on. Where if the offense commits a penalty, it's only a five-yard penalty, and it's a repeat of that down. It's not like, oh, it's a loss of down on all these calls. There's little things they could do to tweak, but he's right on the money thing. Like, these defensive players are losing thousands upon thousands of dollars for hits that most of these guys, I don't think, have the intent, but they're trying to jar the ball loose. They're trying to make sure a guy doesn't score.
Well,
get him off the field.
A good example of it was last night. I was watching the Dolphins-Pats game with a buddy, and we remember the Kiko Alonso hit from earlier in the year with Joe Flacco when he went to slide and he knocked him out of the game, concussed him. But late in the game, I think it was the last touchdown for the Patriots. James White caught that little side pass and was sort of falling to the ground before crossing the goal line. And Kiko Alonso's going barreling at him as he's going to the ground, trying to hit him. And I tell my bet, I'm like, yeah, Kiko needs to hold up and that player is going to the ground. He doesn't need to go flying in like that. Obviously sarcastic, but
yeah,
that's exactly what a defensive player is going to do. He sees a guy going to the end zone, he's going to fly and try and stop him. Like, if you see a player going to the ground, you're not, oh, he's going to the ground, if I lower and try and get that. You don't have enough time to think about that stuff on the field in an NFL game when everybody's flying a million miles per hour. Because if you're the one guy that is trying to get let up, you're going to end up on the sideline. And as we said, next guy up.
Yeah, man. I thought it was really well said by him, though.
That was, yeah, beautifully crafted.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
if you're going to have a point or something of frustration, it's hard to say it much better than he said it.
Yeah, especially, yeah, when you're frustrated, you don't always mean to say the things, you know, construct your sentences the way you want.
Trip up on your words,
exactly.
Stutter or something. No, he didn't. He had that. He was angry, but composed angry.
Mm-hmm.
And he put his message very clearly. So there's Mike Mitchell and his two cents. One thought on this. Somebody says the Bridgeport Beers tax line. Not sure what the NFL is supposed to do when they just let dudes play. They ended up getting sued by players who felt the league didn't do enough to protect the players. Now that they are trying to do something to appease the players are complaining about that too. It's a very good point. You're kind of stuck in a catch-22. And we'll just see what the ramifications of this whole thing is going to be for the league. I think the CBA... negotiations, and that's not for, I think, five more years. That is something to circle and watch for with the way the NFL currently is. All right, some really good news for sports fans. I mean, you're all going to love this. Trust me on this. And we got more information about it. And then also coming up next, do you participate in your office survivor pool? Because I'm going to tell you to be careful, and I'll tell you why next on The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, so I'll get to the really good news for sports fans here. This is one that we're all just going to, you're going to hear it and you're all going to be jumping for joy and you're going to be pumped about. So brace yourselves. It turns out we no longer will have to deal with the Ball family as much anymore, as the Ball kids are headed off to Lithuania.
Oh, no, no, no.
Yes. I am confident in this, and let me tell you why. Lonzo's not going anywhere. LeVar will still be in the headlines from here and there because of Lonzo. You will get an initial report on these kids, and then they will fade out of the headlines. These kids are not NBA players. His second oldest is not an NBA player, and his youngest is not an NBA player. They are not Lonzo. They will not be Lonzo. They will be in Lithuania making maybe $500 a month, if not playing for free, because they want to travel the world and do pop-up shops. And I'm ecstatic about this. We get the Ball family out of the headlines. We don't have to hear about them as much anymore. And this is just a gem that I wanted to pass along. And this comes from friend of the show, Fran Fraschilla. Prominent former American player who played for Ball Brothers' new coach had insight on. This is the coach in Lithuania. One, competent coach with free-willing pick-and-roll offense. Speaks no English. Screams the entire game. And my favorite part, he sold meat out of his car trunk to his players after practice. That's what the Ball family is doing. Yeah. Yeah.
Steak Diane.
There you go, Sam Elliott.
Beef bourguignon.
That is what the Ball family is doing now. They're playing with a meat salesman. I'm ecstatic about it.
A meat handler.
Oh, man.
I'm pumped for it. And I think sports fans should be. I'm telling you, Lonzo's going to be in. And LeVar from time to time. But I think when these kids go to Lithuania, this story's going to die. They're going to realize they're not Lonzo. And there's only one Ball kid that's worth really interviewing.
Jump on the Big Baller Brand website and they're selling steaks now.
They'll be the Starberry. good internationally. Nobody buys them.
Get my $500 shoes and a nice T-bone while you're at it, man.
Yeah, so I thought I'd pass that along. All right. Do you participate in an office survivor pool?
I do not.
Now, no. Some people may be worried about admitting this, but evidently there was a survivor pool the feds just busted. They shut down a $2.5 million NFL survivor pool operation. There's a couple coworkers of mine that walk around this office, and I think they spend a fourth of their day asking people what they think about who they should pick in their survivor pool. But we got a couple people in the office who do, not like this one, but they're involved in a survivor pool of some sort. The feds busted up one of a website called Ron and Mike's Football Pool. Yeah, ESPN learned that two pools, blue and red, were each capped at close to 10,000 entries with a cost of $100 per entry. Those filled up so quickly that a second chance pool was created at $200 apiece. A high roller survivor pool was also offered at $500 per entry. And another pool started midway through the season was a second half pool and cost $100 per entry. All the pools combined had more than 23,000 entries. Players with knowledge of the contest said with a collective value that surpassed $2.5 million. So Ron and Mike tried to create a website, and the reason they got busted is because they broke the law of taking money. This actually says if you just ran a pool and took no share of the winnings, it's not illegal per New York state law. However, if they did receive a cut of the winnings, which was around 10%, they get charged with bookmaking and profiting from a gambling activity. Hence, this is what happened. So these people participated in a pool. They thought it was really cool. Hey, I just pay $100, get in a pool, I could win. Yeesh. I'm not saying your office pool is set up this way. I'm merely saying, be careful. Be careful.
Well, it's like trying to charge people at the door when you're throwing a kegger or something like that, you know? You buy the keg for however much a keg costs. I don't know. I don't.
And then you're basically selling the alcohol. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you just keep the change, keep the leftover.
Yeah. That's not looked upon in high esteem. No, the feds don't like that.
OLCC does not like that.
No, the OLCC does not like that. It's amazing read to their website. They had to send out a thing. Please be advised that Ron and Mike website has been forced to shut down at this time and is unlikely to open again.
Just love the creativity for the web address, too.
God.
Ron and Mike.
Somebody says, I just need to get to a point where I have so much money I can play a $500 survivor pool.
And is Ron and Mike not the most like typical office dude names to start a pool, like a player pool? Ron and Mike.
Yeah, that's it sounds like a movie.
Mike in sales and Ron in
accounting. What was that movie with, God, they needed wedding dates.
Yeah.
It just came out. I ended up watching this. It was one of those randos. It was on. I watched 3/4 of it. Mike and something need wedding dates. It's like the same thing. Ron and Mike, survivor pool. And it's two down on their luck guys that have jobs they don't really care about. And they end up setting up some operation. They take money. The movie doesn't end with them in the feds, but real life does.
Mike and Dave.
Mike and Dave. That's what it was. Really funny scenes and also kind of a terrible movie.
Yeah. 35% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I don't always trust Rotten Tomatoes.
Good enough for a splatty tomato.
Yeah, a little splatty potato. Is the popcorn tipped over? Did the audience like it or not?
I don't know what percentile gets you the splatty tomato versus the tipped over popcorn, honestly. Not sure what distinguishes those two.
God, I need to rethink all of this stuff, man. Because as people know listening to the show, I'm a degenerate. And I like to gamble. But you got to be careful here. You think it's legit, and then you go and you sign up and you pay the money. Next thing you know, you got a phone call or you got the feds at your door.
Well, it sounds like these guys just took it a little too serious, like creating a website, keeping a little bit for them. Just have a jar.
I'd be really honest with you. I don't have a problem with this. I actually wish they wouldn't go to prison.
It's just the fact that they're keeping some of it for themselves.
It's just dumb. Let them run the business. They ran a really good operation.
Is it a business, though? Like,
it is a... Dude, they got 23,000 people to spend their money on their website. If you started a business, Joe, and you had 23,000 people interested in your product, wouldn't you say you're running a business?
I want to see the LLC.
Okay, right. Well, my point is simply...
Yeah, that's...
These guys came up with a really good idea. They created a great survivor pool.
They have thousands of consumers. Yes,
it's, okay. It's spread all over to friends and friends of friends to 23,000 different people who wanted to play, and all they said was, we just take a small percentage of it. That's all we do because we're the ones doing the website. That's going to get them into prison, but ultimately, I would be A-okay if this was allowed.
Plead negligence. I didn't know. I don't remember. Yeah,
it's hard to say you don't know when you do know. That's the unfortunate part about it. Somebody says, I think the website name could tell you it wasn't legit. Yeah, ronandmike.com.
Sounds like, yes. It sounds like a sports blog. Like,
yeah, kind of sounds like a weird website.
Sounds like a cheap firm. Like, they couldn't afford to put their last names on it.
If you told me to go to ronandmike.com, I'm asking at least 8 questions before I go.
And probably still not going.
Well, I mean...
It's a trick. I'm not...
Survivor pool. I'm probably interested, so...
I'll take a peek.
Dirt's in a survivor pool.
How's it going for him?
He's in one of those, like, you know, nobody takes any money, any percentage of it. He got eliminated week one.
Oh.
His survivor pool is a lot different, though. Most survivor pools that you got to pick a different team. You can't pick the same team.
Right.
His was you can pick the same team every other week. And then you get to like week 14, I think, and you can't pick the same team anymore.
Got you.
And he went with the Kansas City Chiefs. Or no, he went the Patriots week one against the Chiefs, which obviously went against him.
Man.
I know, man. I know. All right. So there's some good news for you. Somebody's saying... let's see. Hey, if the ball kids steal anything over there, they may end up being sold as meat out of his trunk. That's scary. So we said the Ball family will now just have more opportunities to create an international incident. And somebody else is pretty sure I just heard an NBA expert say LaMelo Ball was a top 10 pick a few days ago. I would love to know who that is. If you could text that in, if you can remember. I've read some things on these kids. Neither one of them are really that interesting. In terms of NBA eyeballs, from what I've seen,
I felt like
LaMelo doesn't play defense. Well, he just jacks up a million shots.
Yeah, didn't he do that? Like, have a 90-point game or something?
Yeah, because he took like 78 shots. It might have even been more than that. We'll see. Okay. All right. Well, let's get to this. One college football coach, really not a big fan of Jimbo Fisher and the whole salary conversation in college football coaching. And he doesn't hold back. We'll tell you who and what he said next. But first, Joe with a sports update.
This is Dirt and Sprague, Gun 1080, The Fan.
.234 on The Fan. Isaac and Sue coming up just under a half hour. Somebody says, so let me get this straight. The youngest ball kid is 16. He just floats around overseas for 3 years before he can think of entering the draft. Great dad. I mean, that basically is how it works. I'll say this. God, I just said we wouldn't talk about the Ball family, and I'm stuck right here doing it. I do want to get to the football beef. I'll say one last thing. When you're already established as a business, he has these pop-up shops. He did it in China, went really well. He did one in New York, line was out the door. People were waiting hours to get in. When you establish a business that may be able to reach another level internationally, yeah, I'm not an advocate for taking your kid out, but they clearly have a vision of what they want to do and how they're going to go make money. I mean, say what you want about them, but it's worked, right? People like me all over the country have talked about him, put him on interviews, written about him. Like, he has done what he needed to do. His kid is in the NBA now, and he feels it's right as the parent to pull the kid from high school, have him probably homeschooled, but more as like a joke, and just start the company and hope the other kid makes the NBA. I think that's just kind of what it is right now. There's a little beef going on in college football. Jimbo Fisher leaves Florida State for A&M. 10 years, $75 million. Just blows your mind seeing that kind of money. Screaming amateurism, amateurism, amateurism. No money for players. There's no way we can up stipends. And then coaches are given that. I believe I heard this on Dusty and Cam when he had first made that move, that A&M had $100+ million invested in this coach search in terms of what they were willing to spend and how much they were spending to look. When you get to that kind of money for one position, it's just crazy. And it leaves a lot of people just not feeling good about it. You know, it's a real sour taste. And it's not that it's surprising that he left. That's been happening for decades. It's not even that he got a big money contract. That's been happening for a long time. It's just that's another level that some people didn't think we would see for a little while longer, but we're here. So Jimbo Fisher gets 10 years, $75 million. Rocky Long is the head coach at San Diego State. Really good coach. He was on Extra, was it 1360 in San Diego?
Yes.
Sports Radio 1360 Extra is what he was doing an interview on, and they asked him what he thought of Jimbo Fisher in that contract.
Actually, I'm embarrassed that coaches are making that kind of money. I mean, obviously, I'm making good money here, nothing like that, but I'm making good money here, and I appreciate that because when I got into coaching, there was no such thing as coaches making the kind of money that we're making now. But anytime a football coach gets a 10-year contract for $75 million or whatever that was for, that embarrasses me because guess what? I'm sure that their program makes money, and I'm sure that he does a great job, but he doesn't make one tackle, he doesn't catch one pass, he doesn't score one touchdown. And we're not only in this to have a salary, we're in this to develop young men, so it's embarrassing at times.
Well said, Rocky Long. Well said, my man. I couldn't agree with him more. You can't fault Jimbo Fisher. Like, they offered him the contract. Anybody gets offered that contract, they're taking it. But I love the point. I love that it's like this whole thing, the whole coaching thing, it all started from just people loving the game and mentoring and helping young men. And it's still that for a lot of coaches. I think there are some that it's a lot of it is about money now, But I think you also, like a Nick Saban to me, if you say Nick Saban, you're not going to make another dime. Do you still coach college football? I think after his initial reaction of WTF, I think he is going to do it. He strikes me as a guy that even though I'm not the biggest fan, he doesn't have the greatest personality. I think he's a guy generally loves to coach football, right? He cares about football and he does it on the college level. But man, some of the money these coaches are making, I just, you are making it more and more difficult for the argument of we don't have the money to do what we think is right with student athletes. You can scream at me all you want and say, well, they get an education. Just shut up. That's fine. I'm not even advocating that they go make six figures each. I'm just simply saying we could change some of this, right? If we can pay salaries that high, we can change some of what we're doing. We can up stipends. We can make stipends maybe dependent on the city you live in, right? If the kid living in Corvallis gets the same stipend as a kid living in
Columbus,
downtown LA, USC,
mm-hmm.
It's the money's not going the same way. It's just not. It's not going as far. You talk to some of these players, their families get to see them like one time play because they can't fly out. I think we can change some of that. If we're willing to pay these coaches $75 million, what does Nick Saban make? $9 million? Harbaugh, $9 million? Urban Meyer, $8 million?
All of these also like the highest paid officials of their state.
Yeah, Jim Levitt might stay in Oregon and he might make more than like $1.4 million. If you told me Jim Levitt gets a new deal from Oregon, which they reportedly offered him, and he stays and he makes $1.5 million, I'm not surprised at all. $1.5 million to coach one side of the ball. If we can do that, I think you can open a conversation up. And I like Rocky Long's point. This is about mentoring. And those kids at the end of the day, a lot of this is coaching and putting kids in good positions. Some of these other coaches and what they benefit from, they benefit greatly from what the kids end up doing on the field. So, I don't know, man. I think it's crazy. I think that kind of money, again, not faulting Jimbo Fisher or his agent, A&M is the one that stepped up and said, oh, yeah, we'll pay you $75 million. Their AD, Scott Woodward, used to be the AD at Washington. He wanted to pay him, or he wanted to get him on a 15-year contract. He's like, he just wouldn't agree to a 15, so we only got a 10. They asked, was there anything you wish you could have gotten? And I think he said we wanted him for 15 years. And I'd imagine it was 15, it was going to be more than that. But God, at some point you look at that, and I think even Jimbo Fisher, as much as you want that money, could you imagine being rolled out and like Jimbo Fisher, new head football coach, 15 years, $90 million. That's an uncomfortable feeling, is it not?
Yeah.
You're not delivering a national title for $90 million. You're not worth it.
Yeah. What if your 6-7 are like 8-win seasons, 7-win seasons, you know, with the landscape of college football, coaches are getting fired after 2 seasons.
Yeah. Somebody says at the end of the day, college athletics is just a straight up racket. That one from Aiden. Somebody else says, yeah, I'm more annoyed that the highest paid public employees are coaches. They've done that study numerous times.
Yeah. What did Ohio State get valued at? Their football program was like valued at $1.2 billion or something.
The valuations for these programs is nearly impossible to really do, but right. I think it's something around there for a couple of these programs.
Yeah.
So you can't fault the coaches that get these deals. You almost look at the universities, but it's laughable to me. Somebody else said, sick of Spray giving financial advice. We all know he's broke.
Jeez.
That's from our old friend Bruno in Happy Valley.
This is, we're talking about the guy who's opening a second mortgage to get some Bitcoins, all right?
Oh,
Sprague knows what he's doing.
That's what I'm doing. I'm opening a second mortgage because I got to buy all these Bitcoins. I like it. I like when we get coaches that call it out. Call it how they see it.
Well, hey,
you don't get a lot in college football.
2 segments in this hour. We got 2 different guys speaking the truth. Speaking it how it is.
Yeah, Mike Mitchell in the NFL.
Yeah.
And Rocky Long in college football.
That's right. We love those candid answers.
Somebody says $7 million won't be squat in 15 years. God, that's crazy.
Honestly, when Jimbo Fisher got that contract, I could have sworn he was like late 50s. And I thought, I was like 10 years. I was like, the man's not going to see the end of that because he might just die. And then turns out he's only like 40 something.
I like this one, Joe. Somebody says, I'm 35 years old. 15 years? That's a long contract to me. That's what one listener said in the Bridgeport Pierce text line at 55305. Hockey guys get those kind of contracts sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
You ever see those deals? It's like 8-year deals for a player, 9 years, 10 years. I think one goalie, I'd have to look this up, but I think there was a goalie that signed for like 12 or 15 years once. I was like, holy crap. Why would you sign that kind of deal?
He's like, hey, anything's better than frozen feet, and I'll stay here.
Yeah. Speaking of money, you get a kick out of this. One player not benefiting from snow financially, I'll tell you who, and one of my favorites, leaving the game. I'm going to miss watching this player. I have missed watching this player. We'll tell you both of those next on The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague, Gun 1080, The Fan.
Yeah, here's the story that I was talking about. Somebody texted in Kovachuk. I don't know if that was his first or last name because it's hockey. But a listener says Kovachuk signed a 17-year deal with the Devils.
Jesus.
You remember that? This was like a few years ago. This actually, if you told me it was like a decade ago, I wouldn't be shocked. But I remember that happened. And I remember seeing it on like the SportsCenter ticker. And I was just thinking, holy crap, man. 15-year deal? That's nuts. So, yeah, sometimes you get these guys who sign long-term deals, but somebody else says Rocky Long makes like $800,000. I bet he's barely paying his mortgage payment in San Diego right now.
Hey, they just got a bonus, though, thanks to Mr. Penny down
yeah,
there.
Yes, so. They did. Speaking of money, I wanted to pass this along. Last season, a kick that went right, wide right, in week 17 cost Adam Vinatieri $500,000. This year, the snow game that they played against the Bills might also keep him from collecting an additional $500,000. So his field goal percentage dropped to 88%. After he went 0-2 on field goal attempts during that game last weekend in the snow. And he would receive a $500,000 bonus for making 90% of his field goal attempts this season. He went into Sunday's game having made 95.6% of his field goals. But because he missed two in the snow, he is below 90. And if he stays there, he doesn't get $500,000.
That wasn't snow. That was the planet Hoth. I'm pretty sure they were playing
that was
on
straight blizzard, homie.
Like, have you seen the video of them coming out of the tunnel?
Yeah, there was one. Joe Webb is like dancing.
Yeah,
and and I'll be honest with you, it actually gets you jacked up to wish you could play a game in snow.
Yeah, most definitely.
And he's like dancing, hopping back and forth, and then they come right out of the tunnel, and you can barely see anything. Well, you see the field goal post, and that is about it.
They're like firing off the smoke. And you think that smoke's still going, and then they get farther out of the tunnel, and it's like, no, that's the snow that it's now turned into, and it's just white clouds everywhere.
It's nuts, yeah.
It is wild.
Well, I was texting a friend who knows Jordan Poyer, and Poyer's on the Bills now, actually having a really good year for the Bills. And I guess he just, like he said, it was just nuts to play in. Like, it's a mix of fun.
Chaos.
Yeah, it's just a big mix of emotions and feelings about it. Like, it seems really awesome from your home where you're warm on your couch, but in it, you get excited and then your emotions change because now you're freezing and now you're wet. And like, it's just a whole range of how you feel about playing in snow like that. And so I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool.
It was very cool. I refuse to believe that like linemen and D linemen that don't wear sleeves aren't like somewhat affected, you know?
Yeah, there were a couple of them too that were not wearing
like
sleeves at all.
Your arms are beet red, okay? Like you might die of hypothermia on the field here.
Yeah. Hey, not that this is a shocker because he really hasn't done much in a few years now, but Devin Hester officially retired from the NFL.
Yeah, he. I believe was he on the Seahawks last year for like a split second?
No, his career stats. He might have been trying to make the team, but he's not officially listed. Ravens is where he last played last season. Falcons for a couple years, and then he had that really good run for the Bears, which started in 2006. And obviously known as the kick return guy. He had, let's see this.
Yeah, he was on the Seahawks last year just for a short stint. He hopped in between the Seahawks and the Ravens last year.
Yeah, NFL.com's not listing the Seahawks here, but I take your word for it.
Yeah, Pro Football Reference had him splitting it last year because it said that after one of the games with the Seahawks last year, he hadn't been playing too much and kind of alluded to the fact that it was his final game.
So regular season stats here. If you say Devin Hester, I think you automatically say kick return specialist, right?
Oh, yeah.
Regular season only, because we remember the Super Bowl kickoff. How many touchdowns would you guess that he returned for TDs in his regular season career?
In the regular season, mm-hmm. See, because I've been saying the numbers in some of my updates, but I don't know if that is playoff and regular season.
This one right here is just regular season.
Okay, I'm going to stick with it, the 20, because 14 punt returns, 5 kick returns, and then 1 missed field goal that he returned as well. So I'm going 20.
You are close, my man. 19.
19.
5 kick returns and 14 punt returns.
Ah.
Amazing career. I loved watching Devin Hester play.
Well, like I said, 19 between the kicking and the punting, but there was 1 missed field goal that he took back also.
Yeah,
and I'm counting that.
Somebody says he almost had a punt return for a touchdown in the playoffs for the Hawks, but it got called back and changed the game. God, I don't know why I don't remember him for the Seahawks. Again, NFL.com. Yeah, played for them. Oh, played for Seattle in the playoffs is what people are saying. So if that's the case, then that makes sense. So Devin Hester officially hangs him up. Loved watching him play. I know he wasn't quite Devin Hester the last couple years, but he was one of the more exciting ones. All right, let's recap real quick poll questions. I did 4 of them today. We opened the show with Bitcoin. How does it make you feel? 41% of you say, how does it work? Other poll question, what will Baker Mayfield be in the NFL? 45% of you think he's middle of the road. 25% think he's a career backup. Only 9% say absolute stud. Who do you blame for the Blazers' woes, Stotts or Olshay? 84% of you say it's Neil Olshay, not Stotts. And has the city of Portland accepted mediocrity from the Blazers? 44% say yes. When did it start? When did we as a city start accepting mediocrity? 37% say no, we're pissed. 19% say, I don't watch the Blazers.
Probably because they can't, maybe?
Yeah, well, that could be a thing. All right, well, good job, Joe. Good show today. Good thoughts at the Bridgeport Beers text line at 55305. Hopefully Mike Parker tomorrow. I'd like to get him back on. We haven't had him on in a couple weeks. Talk a little Oregon State. And Swigart will be back with us as well. That's Stat or Story. All right, that's going to do it for our show. We'll be back tomorrow at noon. Primetime is next on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.